You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and we've been doing a series of stories on the issue of cancer during this month, leading up to the release of the new Ken Burns production, The Emperor of All Maladies. Joining us now to end our series is cancer physician and researcher Siddhartha Mukherjee. He's written the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Emperor of All Maladies, which the TV documentary is based on. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Your book is a history of cancer interwoven with personal stories, and it's impossible to do it justice in this brief interview we have. So I'm hoping to just cover a few stops along the journey. You start your book with the story of a young mom, Carla. How did you meet her?
Well, she was my patient, and I was instantly transfixed by her story. She had leukemia, and her treatment was extremely intensive, as is the case with many patients with leukemia, acute leukemia in particular.
What happened to her?
She underwent chemotherapy, had a profound remission, and her remission continues today. So in the end, it was a hopeful story.
You introduce us to pathologist Sidney Farber. Who is he, and what was his role in cancer research?
Sidney Farber was one of the cancer researchers working in the 1940s and 1950s. He was called the father of chemotherapy. He began to think about the idea that maybe there are chemicals that can be used, delivered all over the body systemically to stop the growth of cancer. And he was able to use those chemicals in children with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, the same kind of cancer that Carla had, and show that you can send the cancer cells into a remission. Even if it was brief at that time, you could send the cancer cells into a profound remission.
You also take readers way back in time. When did humans first observe this disease, and what did they say about it, think about it?
You know, what's interesting is that we think of cancer as a modern disease, but in fact, it's not just an old disease. It's one of the oldest diseases that we know. The very, very first medical documents that we have, you know, a crumbling papyrus from 2500 BC, contains a reference to a case which almost sounds like a modern description of breast cancer, you know, incredibly modern sounding. So you can look at ancient mummy specimens, you can look at ancient animals even, and you can find some signs of cancer.
How did doctors or their forefathers address this issue before we started to do what we do today?
For the longest time, there was a theory that cancer was caused by an excess of black bile in your body. And it's interesting, you know, the only other disease that was caused by the excess of black bile was depression. Melancholia literally means black bile. And doctors tried to either bleed the body of the black bile or purge it of the black bile. And, you know, there were thousands of remedies, fox tooth and boar skin, and, you know, you can name all sorts of different remedies for cancer, but basically nothing worked. And it wasn't until the advent of surgery that you could cut the cancer out of the body and in some cases cure the cancer completely, that we really enter the modern era of cancer therapy.
But these early operations look terrifying.
The early operations were terrifying for many reasons. The first reasons were that there was very little anesthesia or antisepsis. So the operation was unbelievably painful and often not sterile. So the patients would die of infections post-surgery.
When did scientists truly get to understand the true causes of cancer as we see them today?
Well, there were hints, there were clues going way back into the past, but those clues were largely ignored. The clue was that some cancers are hereditary, so genes must be involved. But it was only in the 1970s when scientists started really looking at the genetics of cancer cells and figured out that there are genes inside cells that control normal growth. And if you mutate them using external carcinogens, or they can be randomly mutated by chance occurrences, you essentially unleash cancer. So cancer is a genetic disease, and the genes that are involved are genes that control normal cellular growth, metabolism, and division.
Where are we today in our understanding of the illness? Is it one thing? Is it many things? Where are we headed?
Well, we know several things. Number one, we know that there is not one cancer, but many cancers. You know, if you compare breast cancer with brain cancer with lung cancer, you don't find the same genes involved in each of them. Each one of them has a unique genetic fingerprint or footprint. It's unique to a single specimen of cancer. So one woman's breast cancer might have a different genetic footprint than another woman's breast cancer. But there are also some commonalities. You know, the commonalities that these cells have dysregulated division, they grow abnormally. And so there are some very, very interesting and profound commonalities. The question you've asked is, where are we going? Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to coordinate everything that we have, all the resources that we have, all the knowledge that we've had over the years to coordinate surgery and radiation, but most importantly, new kinds of medical therapies. Some of these are directed against genes. Some of them even activate the immune system to try to kill the cancer cells. There's so much excitement. There's so much hope. Cancers that were absolutely untreatable have become extremely treatable, you know, including in the last 3 years, melanoma, metastatic melanoma. There are more drugs that have come out for the treatment of melanoma in the last 5 years than there have been in the last 50 years.
Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.